When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I don't know about you, but the last few weeks for me have been a test of faith. And I read Jesus' words today in a whole new light. Mass shootings, political discord that fuels hatred and unrest, fires that have destroyed entire communities in California, pictures of people fleeing in their cars while being surrounded on all sides by flames, some of them meeting fiery death in their cars or in their homes. For me, those images rival anything that Hollywood producers can put together for apocalyptic movies. Author Debbie Thomas reminds us that an apocalypse is an unveiling or an uncovering, a disclosure of something that is secret and hidden. And to experience an apocalypse is to experience accurate revelation. As an American author and social activist, Andrea and Mary Brown wrote, in reference to racial injustice in the Black Lives Matter movement, that things are not getting worse, they are getting uncovered. And we must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil. So perhaps we can identify with the disciples that we hear in today's gospel who are gawking up at this magnificent temple in Jerusalem. And it was a magnificent work of art, a truly remarkable feat of human engineering and construction. The temple was of staggering proportions, and it was plated with so much gold that they said if you looked at it at sunrise, it would actually blind you. That the whitest of the stones from a distance looked like snow-capped mountains. Perhaps we don't understand that, but if I can put that in modern-day images, imagine standing at the base of the World Trade Center maybe 15 years ago and having someone tell you that it would be reduced to rubble in a matter of hours with no stone left on top of another. And if you've been to the lower Manhattan, to the area where the Twin Towers stood, you know that it was a vast area of destruction and how overwhelming and inconceivable it was to comprehend. So the type of horror and disbelief was no different for the Jews of their time. The Romans were the oppressors. And to strike out at the temple, which represented the center of the Jews' cultural religion, would send a clear message to the Jews as to who it was that was in power, who it was who was oppressing them. And the magnitude of the destruction would undoubtedly add to their fear and despair. And Jesus' prophecy came true, that we are told historically that in about the year 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And the population of Jews was decimated. In this gospel passage, Jesus describes the coming day of glory that is being ushered in by a time of frightening upheaval and persecution. Jesus' reply, beginning in verse 5, is a caution against the constant temptation to look for signs. I'm sure you've heard or seen the televangelist ministries that focus on end times, often seeking financial contributions from the poor and the unknowing. Jesus tells us we are not to be deceived. Because part of the human condition is that we are always in a place of waiting, waiting for the anticipated fulfillment of our longings, our needs, and our desires. And part of the human condition is that we are always in a time of suffering, war, natural disasters, personal upheaval and loss. But when it happens in your life and in the lives of those that you love, you actually do come to the end of your world as you know it. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to meet these times not as people who are asleep, but as those who have heard Jesus' call to stay awake, as those who are prepared to endure, as those who walk by faith, not by sight. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we wait in faith and hope for the final revealing of the kingdom. And sometimes, through the lives lived by people like Mother Teresa, or perhaps our loving teachers or family or friends, we are given glimpses of Christ in others. We are given those glimpses so that we continue to wait in hope for when everyone will acknowledge that Christ's teachings and the kingdom are surrounding us at last. Apocalyptic literature heard now and again during the Advent season, which comes up in a mere 2 Sundays, speaks to that condition. It shows that suffering and struggle will eventually lead to God's final intervention at the end of the present age. Jesus' words of warning are meant to give hope in times of persecution. We're to view struggles as an indication that God's reign is coming. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines, but this is the beginning of the birth pangs. This is not the end, but rather the beginning, and it may arrive at any time, so be ready. As Christians, we live in the light of the resurrection and the final judgment, and hope and judgment characterize outlook of the church. As we proclaim Christ to the world in words and deeds, we are taught that in our catechism. And this hope that we have conquers despair, and it should not be foreign to us. We affirm our hope each time we come together to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. In our baptismal liturgies, we say the Apostles' Creed, where we say he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And at Mass, we say the Nicene Creed, and we say he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And again, during the Eucharistic prayer that we will say this morning, you join with me in proclaiming our mystery of faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. As Christians, we are called to be a light in the dark world. We are called to bring hope to those in despair. So go in peace, to wait for Christ, living in uncertain times, but with eagerness and hope and faithfulness, knowing that you are equipped not only to survive, but to prosper and give witness to God's work in a world where God is very often difficult to behold. Look for signs of God's work. Search for evidence of God's grace where others find only despair, and share with them the hope that lives in you. And may the love of God protect you, the grace of Christ walk with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit grant you all good gifts for the living in these days of trial. Amen.